And if you're not careful, you will find yourself seeing how terrible he is, but not seeing your own fear and rejection and disrespect and criticism and judgmentalism as sin. And just as much needful of the grace of Jesus Christ that you so freely embrace and take upon yourself, you'll find it's a hindrance if you don't apply it to your husbands. And inside will grow a festering disrespect for your husband. A fifth thing that's a hindrance is wife thinking she's more righteous than her husband, that I just talked about, but she doesn't, because she doesn't have lust issues. And six, a wife's excuses for why her husband doesn't deserve her respect. Do you have a list of those by any chance? I would assume you do. Alma and I have talked about some of these because, quite frankly, we've been there. He doesn't deserve the respect. That's one that often comes up. I know God tells ladies to respect, but you don't know my husband. He doesn't deserve the respect. I mean, he's got a lust problem. He can't control his eyes. He has he's angry. He can't wait. He's impatient. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Another excuse is he's irresponsible, thoughtless, childish, selfish. Is that one on your list? Or how about he doesn't develop closeness? I mean, he's not open. He doesn't understand me. He's defensive and seldom actually says, I'm sorry. He doesn't honor and cherish me like I need to be. He doesn't love me. In fact, he's even been unfaithful. Another excuse, well, if I respected him, I'd become a doormat. Or maybe I've even heard some say, you know, if I really respected him, he is so proud, I would make this proud animal out of him. If I really told him, you know, like, I really respect you, or if I didn't really tell him all the things that were really wrong with him, he might really think he is somebody. And I'd hate to have a proud husband. I think I've actually heard ladies think that way, you know, and express that. Well, I just want to suggest take that list of excuses and burn them. And because God's word says that you are to respect your husbands. Let's talk about the importance of respecting your husbands. In these two verses of Scripture, I know you're familiar with these, but the first one is Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to consider these two men, Paul and Peter, two of Jesus' disciples. One at a different time. Of course, Jesus had died, but Jesus discipled Paul. He talks about 3 years being discipled by the Lord in the wilderness. That these two men, when they speak and write about marriage relationship, both men, when they're writing to women and giving them direction, command respect for their husbands. Isn't that interesting? They don't say, love your husbands with agape love. Like, for instance, this verse in Ephesians 5, speaking of the church in Christ, Paul summarizes this passage and says, nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. It's the way she is filled with the Spirit. This passage follows up the passage where Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the way a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, for a man, it's by loving his wife. For a woman, it's by respecting her husband. Because that's how the Holy Spirit is. That's one reason it's commanded. I think another reason it's commanded is because it's not natural. It's not natural for a man to love his wife as Christ loved the church and to turn his heart toward her. The reason for that is, his heart is turned toward the field, towards the things that he does in his work. It's part of his conquesting. It's part of that going out to conquer that's in a man that starts when they're a little boy. It's in them from the time they get there. They're out to conquer and defeat and do. You know? It's just in them. And so they have to be commanded to love. For you to love your husband, I think that's fairly natural for a woman. When she first is married to her husband, she wants to love him. She's good-willed in that regard. She wants to be close. Everything that you think love is, you want to be that to him, don't you? The only thing is, your idea of love is not his idea of love. You're different. His idea of love would be spelled R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's what love is to him. Your idea of closeness, you know, and understanding, and, you know, just all that stuff. Am I you know, exactly. That's exactly it, Terry, because a guy goes, okay, that's good for a women's meeting. You know? And he'll want to do that as much as he can. But when it comes to love for him, it's a different word and it's a different concept that's foreign to a woman. So therefore, I believe the Holy Spirit led Paul and Peter to command respect. It's something you have to do by command. Because otherwise, the way you process things is go into your list if he's not worthy of the respect, because he doesn't love me like I love him. Do you have those thoughts? That my husband doesn't love me like I love him. You're right. That's because he's not made like you. A man is different, and he responds in a different way. And so the other verse is 1 Peter. Listen to this verse. And again, I know you know it, but hopefully we can give a little more light to it. 1 Peter 3 says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe their chaste and respectful behavior." Let me summarize this in one little phrase. What Peter is saying and what Paul is saying is this. Do you want to motivate your husband to love you? I mean, we're talking about a disobedient husband here. A guy that's not doing the right thing. Maybe immature. Maybe lost. Maybe has all kinds of problems. Obviously has all kinds of problems. He's disobedient to the word. I mean, my goodness. What does Peter say? The way to win him, the way to motivate him, is respect. That's his language. Emerson Eggerich puts it that way. I think it's a good way to put it. And guys know this. You get a bunch of guys together, and respect is their language. It's a code. It's like a male code. When I go to a men's retreat, I know that code. And I know when I walk in there, if I will demonstrate respect to those men, I have their hearts just like that. I can speak to them, and I can speak the most straightforward, in their face things, and they'll receive it. One of the questions was, what do you do when your husband has a problem and you want to straighten him out? Well, that wasn't how the question was put. I kind of read between the lines a little bit there. But when you see a problem, do you just be quiet, or can you actually still with respect address it? And I'd say, yes, you can address it. But you will never be able to address it unless he thinks you respect him. Unless you've gone on record to say, I respect you. I believe your desires to do the right thing are all there. And not only that, I appreciate them. I just want you to know, I'm going on record. I am for you. Now, by the way, if you haven't gone on record and you haven't proved that by your actions, don't say anything. You don't have any grounds to say anything, because he will react. And you've probably found that to be the case. I'm not telling you something you don't know. But the thing I'm trying to say is that the way to a man's heart, contrary to popular belief, food is good. And that's a part of respect, by the way. It is how a man sees that. It's not so much, I mean, he does appreciate the food and he really appreciates good food. But when you cook for him, it's really, what really speaks to him isn't the food. What speaks to him is the respect that's shown in the food. That's his language. It's what he responds to. He is motivated by that. And so when you communicate that, and I'm trying to say here that in these two passages, these are not obscure passages, ladies. These are foundational passages on marriage. And the word from both of these men is respect. And that's what moves your husband. So I want to go on record tonight, along with many other men, one in particular, Emerson Eggerich, that I want to wave this book. This is a great book. It's one of the best we've read in a long time, Love and Respect. And the main point being, they will respond. Now, the first one there in the importance is God's word commands it. The second one is it's the primary need. It's your husband's primary need from his wife. The fact that the Holy Spirit led these men to write that you respect your husband, just like your primary need is love, his primary need is respect. I like, again, Emerson Eggerich and his wife's illustration of air hose. It's as if it's the air you need to breathe. Your husband's love for you, his feeling, you know, closeness that he develops, understanding, his being sensitive to your needs, and all those things that is love to you. When you're not getting that, isn't it true you are not unexpressive? Hello? I mean, when your air hose is being stepped on and you're not getting the air you need to live and breathe, do you just sit there and go? Until you drop over and die? No, when your air hose is being cut off, you let people know. You've got to have it. And that's what you're actually saying to your husbands when you don't respect them. I wish we had that understanding. I wish we were mature enough to understand that. That's God's way of speaking to us. And that's part of my message to men, is you need to understand your wives. They're not really trying to be mean to you and put you down. They're just suffocating. You're not speaking their language. But for men, that air that they need to live and breathe, according to these passages, is respect. It's your respect for him, because, ladies, if a guy could say it, and I have found this to be true as I do men's retreats, guys will respond this way to me all the time. They'll say, man, you expressed what I was thinking and feeling. I've just never been able to say it. I want you to know that as skilled as you are and adept as you are at communicating, that's not your husband's basic way. I've found that most men do not know how to communicate what's really going on deep down inside their hearts. And like, for instance, this weekend, you'll see this happen for many of you. They'll come to the men's retreat, and as soon as they come back, what are you going to do? What happened? What'd you talk about? Tell us about it. And they'll go, how was the men's retreat? And you're expecting this big, you know, report, and they go, well, that's pretty good. Well, what did they talk about? Well, I think last night we talked about such and such, and they'll say something. But you know what you're looking for isn't that, is it?
No.
No. You want, what did this do to your heart? And what were you feeling? And what are you going to do about it?
Now, that's it.
I know. Ladies, I want you to know they would like to be able to say and answer your questions there. But most men cannot do that, because it's not the way they're wired. It's not what makes them feel close. It's not what, in fact, it feels like a mama to them. A mama that's checking on him. A mama that's always been there trying to say, and most mamas did, you know, so where did you go? And what did you do? You know, when they were a teenager.
Did you get into trouble?
Yeah, did you get into trouble? You know, all those things, it just brings all that back up, and which a man does not take that as respect. And I know you don't take it as love.
So where
No, go ahead and ask them, and then whenever they say, well, it was fine, you go, great.
So could you escort Scott home?
Well, this is, here's what I would say. Here's what men would say. If they could say it, they would say this to you, I think, in some way. If they're good-willed, and I think most of your husbands are, as they say, good-willed, they desire to do the right thing. They desire to please you, and they desire to love you. They would say something to this effect. They would say, even when you're in the midst of a huge disagreement, in fact, if they could say it then, they would say it, but it's just hard for them to do it at that point in time. They probably wouldn't be able to articulate it in this way. But it'd be something like this. You just can't believe how important you are to me. You are so important to me. I live to please you. My desire inside is to please you and make you happy. And I wish I could. But I feel like, and this would be his ways, I feel like I've been asked to take apart a car engine with a kitchen knife. I don't know how to do it. I can't ever meet up to what you ask of me. But I want to. And if you would just, if you just be there for me and encourage me with what I have, we would be greatest friends. I would be there for you. I really would. They feel that way. You know what? Even as I express it, I'm expressing something that's in the heart of a man here. That's in almost every single man. She said, I'm an emotional man. I'm a rare one, I think, as I get around men. But the way I'm wired is I'm extroverting my feelings, and they'll come out when I'm talking. And so I'll start talking, and out my feelings come. Most men are not wired that way. I'm maybe 10% of the male population on that. 90% are not that way. And they could not express it if you offered them sex for a month. They couldn't express it. They just wouldn't be able to do it. So understand this, that it is your husband's need, and that's why God has told you to respect him. Third thing is this. It is also, understand that respect, it's what motivates your husband to love you. It's what motivates your husband to love and to obey God's word. And I know you want your husbands to love you and to love and obey God's word. And whether you understand it or not, realize this, that when you demonstrate respect to him for who he is and what he is, and you accept where he's different, and you find those ways in some way to express to him how much you appreciate his differences and even his struggles, that you appreciate his goodwill and his desires to do the right thing, even when he falls flat on his face. When you do that, you will not be giving aid to the enemy that we talked about on Sunday. You will actually be slapping the enemy right in the face. And you will be building up your husband, and it will encourage him like you cannot believe. It will move him. It will motivate him to love you, to want to love you, to actually want to talk with you and to be close to you in your way of being close, to grow in that. He does have to grow. He does have to learn. And so understand that it's what's going to motivate him. And the fourth thing there is this. It's the way to get off the crazy cycle. Now, you notice the little circles there, and this comes from Emerson Eggerich's book. And I think all of you, just to very quickly explain the crazy cycle that he and his wife Sarah explain. I'm not going to go into it greatly, but just catch that circle there for a minute. That a woman without love, she reacts in an offensive way, and that is without respect. In other words, when a woman's not getting loved, it's her natural reaction. It is an offensive reaction to the man to disrespect him. I mean, when he doesn't love, you then go to that first excuse, he doesn't deserve it. Now, ladies, I'll tell you this. Every man knows he doesn't deserve your respect. Every man knows that. He's way too aware of his failures. That's what lust is all about. See, what's interesting about a man with his lust, you start talking to a man about lust, and he will tell you, he'll say, man, I know. I don't deserve the grace of God. I don't deserve the love of God. I don't deserve why. Deep down inside, if he could express, he'd say, I am the scuzzball of all scuzzballs. I know I don't deserve your respect. Yet I can't live without it. I am fried. I don't know what to do. But see, what's so interesting is, because of his weaknesses, which are so great, which, by the way, here's an interesting paradox. The strength of the man is what you need, ladies. But with the strength of the man comes the strength of the weaknesses. And it is, for instance, with the, how many times have you ever heard a man ever say, or a woman ever say, my husband tries to be my Holy Spirit? Have you ever heard a woman say that? You know how often I hear men say, my wife is always trying to be my Holy Spirit. You know why? That's because he knows his sin, and he sees it clearly, and he's humbled by it, and he knows he doesn't deserve your respect and your love. But women, because you don't have those strong strengths, weaknesses, and you may look at your husband because you don't understand the way he is as a man when it comes to the issue of physical needs, it's very easy for you to think that you're better than he is and that he needs you to be that Holy Spirit. And what's interesting is you may not see how needy you are for him. Oh, you see how much he needs you. But you may not see how much you need him and his strengths that are not at all like you and his qualities that are not at all like you, that make it so difficult for you guys to communicate or to get on the connect, you know, on the same page like you do right here in this room with your friends. So a crazy cycle develops, and that's this. When you're not getting love like you're getting loved, your air hose is getting stepped on, you'll react in a way that causes him to offend him, and you'll react with disrespect. When you react with disrespect, have you noticed he reacts without love? Have you noticed that? I'll let you pause and think on that. Think of some communication time when you've had with your husband where the issue wasn't the issue. You started out on one issue and you disagreed. And he maybe responded in the wrong way to you, or he didn't communicate and wasn't open with you. And you started pressing him on something, and or maybe made a comment like, well, if you only worked more hours, we wouldn't be in this financial situation.